Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Sorry, I wasn't ready. I was caught up. I forgot that the mic was on the other side of the room. I just want to just encourage us all to stay in the presence. You know, that last song, there was such an anointing on it. I have my eyes closed when I'm worshiping, and I actually watched that video and watched the generations and the promises of God move forth. And I was like, wow, look at one generation. Oh, another generation. Oh, another one. And I started thinking, how awesome that God ruled in that household. Now, do you think they had trouble and trials and tribulation? Oh, yeah. But yet they overcome. They overcame by the power of the blood of Jesus. And then I started thinking about the families that are broken and torn apart and struggling. And all I can say is I can't help but think about the goodness of God in good times and bad times. You know, I was driving with a kid today, not a kid, he's a man and 30 something years old. And we were talking God talk when we were driving. And the one thing, the common theme is, no matter how bad it seems or a situation could be, or maybe we blew it so bad that we should have been going straight and we turned right, God's goodness is always there to rescue us. He's not a punisher. And that's what one of the character traits that I love so much about him is we could blow it so badly. We could be deceived so weirdly. But yet if we cling to the cross, if we cling to Jesus, if we cling to the promises through the word, it's like he rescues us again and again and again. And who do we know? Can you think of one human that is like Jesus Christ? No. One of the things I love about him is his grace. And I was talking about this earlier today. I can't live life without his grace. And I was explaining that because people think, well, I'm a self-made woman or self-made man, and I do just fine. And I think, I remember being like that. And really, there's obstacle and stress and overcoming. And I'd rather just live in the grace of God. I'd rather just flow in his peace than try to push things through. I've seen when there's grace and when there's not grace. Not grace is when you're trying to put a table away and the legs don't fold up and you're cramming it and trying to do it. And you may break a leg on the table or you may snap your finger in there. That's not grace. Grace is when you are struggling with folding up the table and you're like, Lord. And all of a sudden there's this pause in the spirit that you pick up and you stay in the peace of God while you are trying to figure out how to close a leg on a table, which everybody knows how to do that. What I'm saying is the gospel message is simple, but we tend to complicate things. We tend to get in our flesh and try to figure it out or get ahead of God. And then we like blow it so badly and we're like, oh, where was I? Oh, Lord, help me. And he's like, here I am again. That's one of the things I love about him is, here I am again. I want to help you. I'm like, yes, I need all your help because I'm just a little kid who's tried everything I know in the natural to be victorious. And even if it looked like it was victorious for a little season, there's always a dead end when it's a work of the flesh. And anybody ever been down a dead end? Yeah, amen. And see, I feel like, earlier when we were worshiping, we've been talking about maps, we've been talking about getting your blueprint from God the last couple weeks, and tonight I saw road signs when I was worshiping, and I was going to blow it off because I was like just worshiping, and then I'm like, oh, you're telling me something. And I saw one of those, you know when you have to make a decision, you either have to go left or you have to go right? I saw that somebody was actually at the crossroads where they needed to go left or go right, but they couldn't figure it out because they were in the flesh. And one of the things, I love that scripture about the peace of God, let it be an empire in your heart. Let it, you know, let the peace of God guide you in the direction to go. Now, when we're in the flesh, busy, working hard, trying to get things done, cramming things in, there's a hesitancy there's like almost you cannot hear well when you're acting like that. And so I have learned to slow down, put the slow way switch on, just back it in a neutral and wait instead of trying to push through with a decision. And I have found if I just wait and kind of hang in the spirit, hang in peace, hang with the Lord, I'll eventually hear which way to go, left or right. But if the enemy tries to get me to be in a hurry, like, hurry up, you need to make the decision right now, right now, right now. If you don't make it right now, you're going to, no. That is the enemy or our flesh. God never, he didn't create us to be running around with chickens with like our heads cut off, trying to get everything accomplished for him. No, we are to walk in peace through him. And there are obstacles along the way. There are road hazards that are in the road. But you know what? You can still stay in the spirit and be far above, seated high in heavenly places, far above the principalities. You can look down at the situation and go, you know what? That's just debris. And you can command that debris to go. But the problem is many of us have been trained up to be lazy Christians. We want somebody else to do it for us because somehow we bought the lie that somebody is supposed to do it for us. Well, the only one that can do it for us is Jesus Christ, not another person. When you involve another person, then you've got chaos because you have a false expectation or you have an expectation that they should do it for you. Now, I'm not saying when we pray for people, we help people. We help people get unstuck. That's one of our jobs. So I'm not saying that, you know, don't call on people for help. But what I am saying is when help is walking past and you turn your back or look the other way, whether it be out of, you know, a misunderstanding or the enemy sowed a lie into you, you have to be careful of the schemes of the enemy. I don't know if this is making sense, and I don't even know what I'm saying, but it's for somebody in here. What I mean is God is always yes and amen. He's always yes and amen. And he will send people to help us point us to him, Jesus Christ. But along the way, the enemy hates that. So he'll try to sow a little seed of discord or a little bit of anger or, you know, like a word curse or an angst or some sort where there's a misunderstanding. And then whenever there's a misunderstanding, there's a separation. So let me just say this. For tonight, I'm making eye contact. I normally don't make eye contact when I preach. So if I land on you, it's not you, okay? I'm just landing because my eyes are open tonight. So you can text me later and say if this message was for you, and I'm going to say, yeah, it's for all of us. But if I paused at a point, it's not because you're in trouble or God's speaking to you. I'm just looking at people tonight, which is weird because I normally don't. So everybody cool so far? Okay, so with this sign in the road, I have found when I get myself in trouble, it's because I'm running too fast. And God is asking us to slow down. He's asking us to slow down so that we can learn or recalibrate how to stay in the walk of the Spirit. And so it our flesh wants to go and do. God wants to be and hang with us. And so there's this battle of the do's and the hangs. And so it's important to discipline our flesh. And one of the ways I learned this, I like to do things. I'm a project person. I just like to put puzzles together, not the actual physical ones, but like projects. And I like to build things and stuff like that. And I had a hard time hearing God because my mind was so busy. And so one of the things that the Lord taught me, and I think I learned this from Holly years ago, is to stroll, walk really slow, and ask him the questions of my heart. And I would have not a million, but I probably have 7-10 questions of like anxiety questions, you know, like, I got to know the answer to this. And you got to tell me right now. And I'm not hearing because I'm in the flesh because I need to know right now. Yeah, that's not how you hear from God. How you hear from God is, you know what, Lord, let's just hang together. You want to go for a walk? And so I would go for a walk and I would be very busy because my life was busy. And I would be walking really fast, and I want to hear from God. But I learned if I could slow down my walk, my mind slowed down, the racing thoughts slowed down, and I was able to ask a question. And I would just be as simple as a kid and say, I don't understand how this works. Whatever the question is, would you help me? Would you show me what I'm missing on this? And I learned that as the slower I walked, the better I could hear. And so for some of you, this might be a new concept. And for some of you, this might be an old concept, but you need to pull it out again and start doing it. And because life gets busy. You know, it's easier to go clean out a cabinet than it is to walk slow with God. I'm just saying. Until we connect deeper in, and then it's like, I don't care about that cabinet. You know what I'm saying? And so we're in a season where things have, like, you know, accelerated. Like, we're obviously it's fall, so seasons have changed that way, but I'm talking in the spirit. There's some acceleration, and God is trying to get us equipped for the next step in Him. And what I mean by that is the battles of the flesh. So I noticed, like, yesterday it was kind of cold and dreary here in Wisconsin, and I remember thinking, I don't feel like going out today and doing anything. You know, and I thought, I don't want to do anything. And I remember thinking, what's up with that? Is it because I'm old, which is a label that the enemy's trying to throw at me? Oh, you're old. You don't, it's too cold to go. Well, it's not too cold. Okay. It's what, 40? That's not too cold. Pretty soon it's going to be zero and we're going to be outside in zero. So I had to recognize a fiery dart. Now that was a fiery dart I had yesterday. I'm telling you, we need to dial in and pay attention to the fiery darts that are trying to stop us from walking in victory. Victory's been paid for. We just have to get in sync with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and ask Him, what are we doing? What is the plan? He released the maps. He's released the blueprint. But now there's some road construction that He's doing along the way. And some of you, there's going to be a yield sign. You need to slow down. You're moving too fast. Hey, that's a song. I kind of remember it from the 70s. Some of you need to, like, watch out for the debris in the road because the enemy's throwing junk at you. It could be your kids. It's Sunday night and they need stuff for a school project on Monday and, you know, you're just finding out about it. So what are you going to do in a situation like that? Well, in my case, it's grace of God. Grace of God, and how important is this? And sometimes we need to train our kids that they don't rule us. And sometimes that's hard because we want to be their friends. Ooh, I feel this one deep in the... I feel this one being released. And so, guess what? We're not their friends. We're their parent. And so we have to help them develop boundaries. Otherwise, we will be walked over until we're buried, so to speak. Because they... anybody, this goes for anybody, we have to discipline or we will be taken advantage of. And in the season we're in, I see, like, the peeling away of old things, old thoughts, old ways of doing things, and I'm seeing an acceleration in the spirit where there's, like, hidden doorways in the spirit that are opening if you catch them. And I know this sounds weird, but it's true. And so when you go through a passage through in the Spirit, there's a promotion or there's an acceleration or there's a nugget of truth that you need to continue on in your journey. And so, first of all, I just break off weariness in this room tonight. I'm looking around and I'm looking around, okay? And I'm seeing weariness in this room. And that is not part of the covenant. That is not part of your promise. So right now, by the Spirit of God, I command weariness to go in Jesus' name. I command hopelessness to go in Jesus' name. Hope rise, hope rise. Destinies, I'm blowing off destiny in the Spirit, and your destinies come forth in the name of Jesus. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just hang on. I command your eyes to open, your senses to open into the Spirit. I command the truth of God to cause an explosion, a Holy Ghost explosion inside your heart where the flesh gets torn away from the Spirit and you're no longer logically thinking how things should work, that you've been captivated by the heart of God and the revelation and the flow of the Spirit is normal to you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. So there's situations in here, in the natural, they don't look too good. Let's not look. I'm going to ask us all to look in the Spirit at the promises of God. Well, how do you do that? I'm going to teach you tonight, okay? Who wants? Who wants? Yeah. Okay. So, I should give you a scripture. I'm thinking of the one where, I just drew a blank, but it's the one where, if you look in, I'm just paraphrasing, if you look in the flesh, look not at the flesh, but look in the Spirit, something like that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Who's got the scripture reference? Kim, can you get it? Okay. And so we'll get the scripture reference on that. But we're going to do a practice. So here's the practice. Well, we'll get the scripture and then we'll do the practice. You need a phone or you got one, Kim? Okay. Okay, so is everybody with me so far? You got something? Okay. You're in. Okay. So roadblock in the natural. You're driving in your spirit car, your spirit man, your spirit body, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you see like a big box in the middle of the road. Blah! What do? You stop? Is that what you do? What would you do? This is interactive. I command you to move in the name of Jesus. Spirit, not flesh. Flesh goes around it. Okay, we're not of flesh. I command you to move in the name of Jesus. See, we're supernatural beings living in a natural body. We have to come up higher in who we are. Kingdom rulership. If you were there, you're there. If you weren't, it's okay. But kingdom rulership talks about how to live and rule on earth as it is in heaven. So, Kim, did you get that scripture yet? Okay, good. So we're going to stop and pause on the scripture and then go from there.
Okay, so it's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. This is the Passion Translation. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, but what is in the unseen realm is eternal.
That's it. So that is our reference, our marker in the spirit. And so I want us all to do a couple things. Now, first of all, faith, when you are looking in the spirit, there is a temptation of the enemy to say that's not real. And he does that because he's kind of afraid that if you ever figure out the walk of the Spirit, he's done for. Because you see how powerless he is, how small he is, and how lack of, he has no control over you once you take authority of that thing. And so the big battle is of the flesh, of listening to the demonic force saying, that's not real, don't look, it's scary, it's bad, don't open that door, that's witchcraft. No. What's the reference, Kim? 2 Corinthians verse 4, 18. It talks about don't look in the flesh, pay attention to the spirit. Now, we're talking about that obstacle in the road, and pretty much everybody wanted to go around it or maybe get out of their car and move it. But I'm telling you, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. And we do that for every situation that is a splinter or hindering force. Give me a situation in here, somebody. Give me a situation that you're struggling with. Can't pay a bill. Okay. So if you can't pay a bill, first of all, couple rules or laws. First of all, are you a giver? Because you reap what you sow. So if you're not sowing seed into the kingdom of God, wherever that is, wherever the Lord tells you, you really can't walk under the blessing in that area because you reap what you sow. If you're stingy, then you'll reap stinginess, so you won't have abundance. So the second thing about if you can't pay a bill, let's just say something bad happened, and all of a sudden you got a bill, or let's just say, you need a tooth pulled or something weird like that, or your car breaks down and you need a car part, or whatever, you have a bill, okay? The first thing you do is you give it to Jesus because it's not yours. He purchased everything, okay? So he didn't want you to have debt, so you hold this debt and just give Jesus love. No, you give him everything. And so if I have a bill and when I have a bill, the first thing I do, If it's unexpected, the first thing I do is say, okay, did I tick anybody off? Is this an assignment from the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy? Or is this just a weird thing that happened, which that does happen? And so what I mean by that is, like, let's just say my tooth wore out and I need a new tooth. And so did the enemy cause that? No. My lifestyle caused that. So either I didn't have the right nutrients or whatever. Now, I can command my tooth to be healed in the name of Jesus, and that's my first route. And I lay hands on my tooth, and I say, tooth, be healed in the name of Jesus. Peace to this tooth. Gum tissue, come alive. And I keep speaking life over the issue. So, and if, let's just say, my faith isn't strong, for some reason I don't get healed, and I have to have the tooth pulled. And now I have a whatever, $1,000 bill, $10,000, $50, $100. It doesn't matter the amount. It's the same concept and principle of how to get victorious. And so what I do next is I say, Lord, you're my provider, because he is. Because I have surrendered my life to him completely. There's not one area that I hold back. It's all his, and he lets me steward it. So I'm a giver, so the enemy can't use that on me. I have 100% steward the resources that he gives me. I'm all in, so he can't do that against me. And so the third thing is I hand it to Jesus, and I say, excuse me, this is your bill. Because I belong to you, you're my dad, and you always take care of your kids. So I am giving you this bill. I am surrendering it to you. And what I like to do is I have the bill, and I draw a big old red cross on it, right of through the center of it, and I lay my hand on it, and I dedicate it to the Lord, and I say, the blood of Jesus over this bill. Resurrection life, come forward over this bill. Resources, come in for this bill in Jesus' name. I command you paid in full in Jesus' name. And I do it, and I do it, and I do it, and I do it every day. And what I do is I leave it out so I don't forget to do it. And so, and it doesn't have to be fancy. It, you know, if you've got a situation or a problem and it's not a bill, maybe it's just a family matter, like maybe you have a wayward kid or, you know, whatever the issue is, I write it out and I draw a big cross because what I'm doing is I'm giving, I'm surrendering it. Because there's power in the cross. You don't have to do this. This isn't some like cheap thing to do. This is just the way that I've seen work so much for me. And so, like, let's just say I'm believing for like a salvation of a family member, or I'm believing for healing, or let's just say I got a list of problems that I didn't realize I was carrying. Like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I got a backpack of, I got to get this done, I got to get this done. Maybe, you know, the barn's leaking, or maybe their driveway's messed up, or whatever. I write it all out, everything that I feel I'm carrying the burden, and then I say, yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize I was carrying this burden. Little by little, the enemy put a brick, and it became a heavy backpack. And so if you can take 2 seconds and go, do I feel peace on my back, or am I carrying burdens? And if you're carrying burdens, you write them out on a piece of paper, a napkin, paper, whatever, and then I always like to draw the big old red cross. Holly taught me that. I lay my hand on it, and I give it to Jesus. I say, Lord, you did not create me to carry burdens. You took my burdens to the cross, and you give resurrection life. So I command resurrection. See, I command resurrection life. I'm not waiting for my neighbor or Jesus to come and resurrect it. I command, because behold, I give you authority to trample every work of darkness. So Jesus gave us his authority to deal with it. So if you're waiting for him to deal with it, you're going to be waiting until he comes back for us. He gave you authority. So if there's a situation, an illness, a sickness, a broken bone, you command it to come to life. You command the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Nothing can be held captive because he released captivity at the grave, through the grave, through the resurrection power. And so his blood speaks on our behalf. And so I use his blood. I pour his blood over the situation. I pour his blood over words spoke against me. I pour his blood. I spray his blood before me. I spray it behind me. You know, his blood is so powerful. No devil can penetrate through the blood of Jesus. And so for that bill, thank you, Lord, that this bill is paid in full in Jesus' name. And I don't stress over it. Because it's already done. And so what we're waiting on, see, this is where it gets a little dicey. People look in the natural. It's still here. Listen, come above into the spirit realm and watch and decree. When you do it from the realm of God, it's done. Because you're a king, a priest, you're royalty. You're not some little peasant hoping God's going to do something. He already did it, and he's waiting for us to declare it, command it. And now what if there's delay? You ever have delay? Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've had delay. But here's the cool thing. Delay builds character in you. Because it's like, do you really believe my word? No, it didn't happen. Yes. Whatever it is, it's working out the inward things that need to be worked out in you. And here's the thing. The first time, when it doesn't come, you know, when I used to pray and command, boom, it would happen, boom, all the time. And then there was delay. Delay got entered. And I thought, what is delay about? Because I'm so used to everything popping instantly. What it did was it caused me to lean in to the Father in a way I never would have leaned in before. And it would have probably made me a spoiled kid if I didn't learn delay to lean in. Because I've had to contend. You ever have to contend for a healing or finances or a breakthrough or a promise of God? Yes. The answer is yes. If you're a Christian, a solid citizen, you've had to contend, and that brings character. And there's a scripture about that. And what I like about contending is once the tipping point is there and faith is released and there's an activation in the spirit, see, because it's already done, we're just waiting, okay? When you believe, it's done. You don't have to keep, begging God. It's done. When you speak in authority, it's done, like a king. And so with delay, it causes you to come into greater authority until there's a tipping point. And then it gets easier to see the dead raised. It gets easier to see bones come back and men together. And here's the thing I've learned through my own pain and experiences. You know, I broke my ankle several years ago. I can't even remember what year. It was 20-something years ago. I didn't know the concepts I know now. I only knew not to accept bad reports, but I didn't know I could command my bone to come back, or I would have. And since then, I learned that and have it happen where my bones have come back in place. But back then, I didn't know. I only knew to break word curses or diagnostic reports from the doctors. And so I would. Like when they said, you're going to have arthritis, you're going to limp all your life, I said, I break those words in the name of Jesus. I would not come in agreement with what that person was saying, because that person was talking in the flesh, looking in the flesh. I'm a supernatural being who lives a supernatural lifestyle, and I'm not taking that package because it's garbage. I want his best, not his garbage. And so my healing took a long time to manifest. During that long season, the enemy would bombard my mind along with good, loving Christians. Hallelujah. Are you in sin? How come you didn't get your healing yet? I don't know. I just didn't know. And I had examined my heart. Is there an open door? Is there sin in my life? What is the deal? And still, delay, delay, delay. Drag my leg, drag my leg, drag my leg. To the point where you begin to doubt, is God's word true? And that's a great place to be, because there's like this power explosion in the spirit that happens because the enemy's like giving you a drip line of numbness, of lies, settle here, it's never going to get better. And then you go, wait a minute, God's word says, by his stripes I was healed. I am healed. I know God heals. And in that moment of knowing, your faith gets to an explosive level in the spirit realm, which causes an activation of all good things. All good things. And so, meanwhile, so you get the activation, but it doesn't look like it in the natural, because you're looking at that box in the middle of the road and going, well, I guess I'll go around it. I guess I better just stop my car. Box, move in the name of Jesus. We are to live a supernatural life. Listen, translation was normal in the old days. They all translated themselves to wherever. Philip, they all did. We need to start practicing the gifts of the Spirit. We're in a time where we need to be able to tap into the goodness of God. And that's part of the goodness of God. And so these trials that we're in are designed to build our spiritual muscles, to build our faith, to build our knowledge of the Word of God, and to flow in the Spirit in such a way that when the enemy even tries to drop a box in the middle of the road, we're like, move in the name of Jesus with authority. Bone, come back into place in the name of Jesus with authority. And what happens is your faith continues to grow. And here's the really cool thing. In the spirit, it's like a wave. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it knocks down every little devil along the way. You ever been knocked down by a wave in the natural? In the spirit, when you speak by the power and authority, now there's a difference. You can speak by your flesh the word of God, which is good, but when you speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, the word of God, it like releases something in the spirit that no devil can stand, because it's God. You're in him. You're speaking by his authority. And so what I love about that is that continues. It lasts forever and ever and ever. And so I'm telling you, we're at a point in God where, or a time in God where there is rapid acceleration for supernatural lifestyle, but the flesh is weak and tired and lethargic because of all the lies being told us through this thing right here. This is called a pacifier. Remember the old days, you'd give a baby a pacifier? Now, Every adult, choose on one of these. Don't tell me you don't. Most people do. And where do you think that came from? Oh, great technology. Is it really so great? Is it part of the great lie? 5G, remember? Oh, our cell phones will work better. Does your cell phone work any better than it did before 5G came? No. Part of the lie. We need to wean ourselves from electronics because they are feeding us. You know, who is the scripture? The power of the errors belongs to Satan. Who do you think is feeding your brain most of the time? The powers of the air. So it's Satan himself. He is the one that's releasing this dulling agent, and many people have fallen for it. I am trying to get off that thing. This is like crack cocaine or whatever that stuff is. You know, in the middle of, not the middle of the night, but it's like, oh, I check my phone. You know, that dopamine thing. And I use mine for work. You know, I sell a lot of stuff on Marketplace, so I actually use my phone. But I have to be careful not to do this, because it dulls us down. I worked with a couple kids today, and I was amazed. They were young kids, and I say young, maybe 20s. What grade did you high school? He was a senior. 18 years old, great kid. No common sense. I was shocked. You know, I've seen that. But it's startling. Now, that happened because of this. And I could take it all the way back to probably Nintendo or Pac-Man. You know, they started with the Atari. You know, oh, play this electronic game. Listen, we're going to see. No, boy, we're not going here. Please don't make me go here. Okay, we're going here. So here's the thing. Even the elect will be deceived. That scripture scares me. How are the elect going to be deceived? I think it's through electronics. Now, it doesn't say that in Scripture, but just based on what I'm seeing, I'm watching. You know, AI is all over right now. AI, here's the thing. I'm pushing against AI, but it is pushing back. Every update, it wants to give a little more of its opinion to you. And you know, people, it's a double-edged sword. It has some useful information, but that is fed by a person, not God. I've heard of some bizarre stuff with AI where it's coming to the point where people that have social issues that can't talk to people, they're not going to be talking to people. They're talking to their AI friend. They're marrying their AI friend. I'm not kidding. It's bizarre, and this is just the beginning. Oh, Lord, we might have to cut the recording. I don't know. Okay. Do you remember when the... I have to say this with, what's that called? Politically correct. Do you remember when they started to push the gay agenda? Do you remember, are you old enough to remember those days? And it was like, well, it's kind of weird, but okay, if you're gay, that's okay, whatever. They didn't stop there. Now they're into... If I want to be a cat, I can be a cat. If I want to have sex with an animal, it's okay. If I want to have sex with an AI thing, it's okay. It's perverse. It's demonic. And it's counterfeit. It's designed to keep you further away from intimacy with the Father. It's a counterfeit, cheap thing. But here's the thing. We're at the counterfeit, another level of counterfeit with AI. Think back, okay? Did you ever think that a man and woman would be in the same locker room or any of that? No, we never thought that back in the old days. They're just gay. It starts with one thing. Now, I'm not saying anything about people that are gay. I have some friends that are gay that are, you know, working their way out just like I'm working my way out in salvation. I don't judge them. That's not my job. I'm to love the unlovable. And I'm not saying they're unlovable. Some of you in here are unlovable, okay? And I still love you, you know? So you're like, hey. I'm like, no, I'm messing with you. But what I'm saying is, If we can't show the love of Christ to the lost and broken, and remember, you were lost and broken, when they want to, if we are not open to them, who will be? But here's the thing. We're open to them, but we're not in agreement with lifestyles. And because we've been dulled down that we can't say anything because it might hurt their feeling, it's caused problems for them and for us. And so now we're at the point where we're in AI. This is AI, like the beginning. Think about when somebody was considered gay, like the big push. I mean, there was gay stuff forever. I mean, look in the Bible. There's all kinds of homosexuality and immorality. But what I'm saying is the agenda got pushed in your face.
To celebrate.
And so, I don't even celebrate, like, most holidays because I don't want to. Why would I want to celebrate your lifestyle? You know, I don't celebrate that you didn't drink or did drink. Why would I want to celebrate what sex you want to be?
Right.
That's just bizarre to me. But yet, if I say anything, it's offendable because that's the latest thing. Everybody's offended. And so, guard your heart against being offended. And, I know I offend people sometimes when I preach. And they tell me so. And I have to pray about it and see, is it the Lord or is it Lori? And I take it to the Lord. And so I don't take my job lightly. I pray over issues that come forth with, you know, believers. But what I'm saying is even the elect will be deceived. And you think, well, that won't be me. Have you ever been deceived?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been deceived. I've been deceived with people that say they're going to do something and then they don't. And they take your money or whatever, you know, and then you never see them again. And so we have to guard our hearts when we're deceived because you reap what you sow. If I'm like, I'm going to get you, dirty dog, I'm going to end up getting by a dirty dog. So I don't do that. I bless those that curse me. I bless those that come after me or lie to me. I bless them. And I don't say, how can I get even? I say, Lord, I blew it. I am so sorry, but I'm giving this to you. And what shall you want me to do? He never says, go punch him. He never says, take him to court. He always says, just let it go. And if it's financial, I count it as seed. Not the best soil that it just got sowed into, but maybe their family needed it for food. I don't know. And it's not my job to figure it out. So even the elect will be deceived. AI. I'm watching stuff in this. Okay. Some of that stuff that comes across on the social media, AI generated, many people don't even know it's AI generated. So that scares me. And then every once in a while you think, that looks very real. And you look at it and you look at it and then you see like, oh, there is no arm in that one blink of a second. So you realize it's AI because it's not fine-tuned enough yet. But they're fixing that. And so even the elect will be deceived. I saw somebody post something in another country where it looked like, you know, Jesus was coming or somebody like, I don't remember what it was. I looked at it and I thought, that is as fake can be. But listen, even the elect will be deceived. We have to be aware of deception. You remember that dream you had with the hologram? Yeah. That was a warning dream in a due season. You know, some people will chase after the goosebump or chase after what looks so good, but it's fake. It's counterfeit. It's AI. And we're going to see more and more of that. We can't stop it, but we can practice what the Word of God says and get tuned in by the Holy Ghost. See, you want to be in a place of rest, not speediness, a place of rest. And I wrestle with this. I'm being very honest. I wrestle with too much. And I always have to ask the Lord, slow me down. I got to stay in you because it's very easy to go veer off and do something. For one thing, it makes me feel good in my flesh for some weird reason when I finish a project. So, but I also, what really makes me feel good is if I stay in God and just rest in Him and walk with Him. And some days I do great. Some days I stumble a little. But I bound myself to the Holy Ghost like a three-legged race. I said, no, never leave me. If I fall back, pull me forward. If I get too far ahead, slow me down. I want to be in step with you, Holy Spirit, all the days of my life. And because I've done that, He's obligated. And so sometimes he'll pull me back, and sometimes I'll say, come on, catch up with me. And I'll try to drag him, and you can't drag the Holy Ghost. You can't. And so there's this wrestling of the flesh. But back to the obstacle in the road. The obstacle, we command it to go. And how do we do that? We pray over it. We speak life to it. We command it to go, or whatever. And we do it by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Not off of someone's formula. Not off of what worked for somebody else. Because they got that from the Holy Ghost. We need fresh oil in this season. Fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. The parable of the 10 virgins is very important. It's not just for when Jesus comes back. We need to be working on the oil, practicing, staying in him, and filling the oil. And how you fill your oil is by living in him. You are living oil. And so we're going to do a little thing. Like, I want everybody to, because I know there's people in here struggling, and I get it. I have struggled, and I'm not today, praise the Lord, but I may be tomorrow. But this will work if we do what we're supposed to. So you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything. But if you have an issue and you want help walking through it, then you're going to have to speak it, because I can't give you, I don't know it if you don't tell me it. So you guys mentioned a bill back there. Did we cover that thoroughly enough? Yes? Okay. So if there's still delay, let's say, I don't know if this is you or not, but let's say you got a bill, a list of bills, you're laying hands on it, but they're still not being paid. How long do you wait before you get in the flesh and take action?
5 minutes.
Some people, come on. So here's the thing. That's a fine line. Sometimes there's a false belief system, like God's going to take care of me and I'm just going to sit here, eat bonbons and watch soap operas all day long. And God will pay my bills. The Bible talks about working, that it's good to work. It really is good to work. It changes you. Now, what if you're retired? You've already worked. So you shouldn't have bills that need to be paid. So if you're in that situation, you need to figure out a creative solution to that problem. And I know the master. He's very witty and is always giving and releasing inventions. I know many people that have inventions, the witty inventions that came from God, and they're millionaires. So it's not just for the elite. It's for every one of us. So did we cover that? Any other questions on that? Okay. Anybody else? Yes, yes. Oh, I love that one. Okay, so here's the thing. One thing I know is when you're young, you'll probably change your career 10 times, okay? But when you're young, you think, I'm going to do this forever, and I want to make it right. I don't want to blow it. So what you do is you ask the Holy Spirit, you sit in a place, and you know, because they do that testing, you know, like, yeah, whatever that thing is. I remember doing it, and you can't do it if you're on drugs. Let me just tell you that. Drug dealer's not one of the occupations. But anyway, what you do is you figure out what you're good at. That's the secret. So what you're good at is your passion. God has equipped you with your passion, and you'll get better at it. So what I mean is, okay, you can be an engineer, you can be in a circus, you can be a waitress, you could be a waiter, you could be a pilot, you can be in the army. All of those you could be, but what is it that God wants you to do? And so what I do is I say, Lord, here's a plate full of mishmash. I don't know what to do. Would you show me which direction to go? And believe it or not, if you sit with him, you could even have it on a piece of paper and just, you know, peace, no peace, scratch it off. Peace, no peace, scratch it off. Not sure, go back to it. And he will eventually tell you the direction, the way to go. It may not be all at one sitting, and it may be at all one sitting. But the answer is go with the peace of God as your empire in your heart. That's a scripture. And so does that help you?
But
I prayed repeatedly on just what direction do I go left or do I go right, and I don't know how to hear from God.
Okay, that's it right there. You don't know how to hear from God. So there's a scripture that says his sheep hear his voice, his sheep know his voice. So the ability is there to hear from God. So are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember when you did that?
May 19, 2013.
Okay. So you actually remember that. Now, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? If you were, you'd know.
Don't know.
Okay. So here's what's going to happen. Okay. You read the Bible?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is it real clear to you? Like, do you have an understanding of it?
To a degree, yeah.
Okay. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it comes alive. So we're going to pray for you at the end of the service that you... Would you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Well, okay. John? You're going to... So, John, and probably Mark, you know, anybody who wants to join in, we're going to pray for our brother to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they'll teach you about it, and I'm going to guarantee you will know the path to take. It's a game changer. Go ahead, Kim.
Also, I just feel like the Lord has something for him.
Yeah.
So, I just feel the Lord, and I hear him cheering you on. You have a gift of intelligence. Like, you are gifted from the Lord with extreme intelligence, and you do understand the Bible in your intelligence. And I sense, and I pray anything that's not totally perfectly the Lord would fall away right now, but I hear the Lord saying you're a Moses, but there's been things in your life that have caused you, kind of like Moses said, don't pick me, I don't speak well. But you're called to preach and teach. I don't know who, where, how, when, or, you know, but I know why, right? We know the why. But the Lord's going to show you, and he's going to direct you, and you're going to get confirmation. Everything in your life has kind of pointed to some gifts that you have that you're aware of in your intelligence, and you might even be thinking right now, well, preaching and teaching don't go with anything I ever did well. That doesn't even make sense to me. But it's going to make sense, and it's all going to come together. And you're never going to be the same after you leave tonight, because you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I'm open.
Amen. 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 Amen.
He's cheering you on. He's cheering you on.
Yeah. It's kind of like, let's see, taking off in a jet, being born again. Taking off in a jet, but you're blindfolded. And you're going by feeling. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, blindfolds come off, and you soar higher, and you know more, and your whole life opens up. And you're never the same again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your name?
Houston.
Houston. Houston.
That's good.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, who else has a situation that they're trying to have some wisdom on? Or you? Yes, yes.
I have a couple.
Okay, hold on. She's
I
jumping over chairs.
Voice too, huh? A couple. One, I've been a widow for 10 years, and I've been living in a huge house, and I'm feeling like, you know, at some point I've got to downsize and simplify, because there may be other things I need to do, and I can't do all this at once. The other thing is, I have a business now. It's a family business, but going forward, I need some real direction for open doors. Who, what, when, where, all the above.
Yeah.
But I've seen God do amazing things. I started out as a teacher, and I thought I was born to teach. I taught horseback riding, Bible school, you name it. And one day, when there didn't seem to be another teaching job, I was substituting, and I got assaulted. I mean, physically hit in a high school class. And my husband said, I think that's the end of that. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do I love as much as teaching? And I knew instantly, changed my whole direction, took a correspondence class, and I could see all his handwriting on the wall. But I literally thought, when teaching came to an end. I said, if you had told me that was coming, I would have said, am I going to die?
Yeah.
It was that profound a change
in
direction, but I trust him, and he's amazing.
Amen. So two things. She's a widow, and she needs direction on keep the house, sell the house, when, and where. That's one. So first thing I would do, and I know she's already done this, is I would sit with the Lord and I'd write it out. You know, this is what I'm looking at. I'm asking you, because he's her husband, eternal husband. I'm asking you for a path and a direction. That's a scripture. And show me which way to go. And if she takes the time to sit down, he will give it to her. And here's the thing. Let's say he doesn't. That means don't do anything. That's the thing. Because here's the word people get messed up. He's not telling me, so I'm just going to do it. No, that means don't do anything because the season is off, okay? And the second one was?
The business.
Oh, okay. So, and the second one is that's God's business. And so, again, I'd be sitting there and I'd say, Lord, we're going to have a business meeting because he is her boss in this area. And I would sit down and say, let's deal with this. And he will give her. And then he might say, well, I want you to do this or I want you to do this. Then what you do is you speak it into the earth. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Jesus could say, I want you to go, you know, to South Carolina and do whatever in my business. Okay. But if you don't speak it, it's like the door doesn't open in the spirit. If you speak it, the door opens in the spirit and there's a flow and grace to go. If you don't speak it, but you hear it from God, you're doing it in your flesh. And it's completely, it's bumpy roads. Anybody else? Okay, wait.
Yeah, so I'm back here in Wisconsin to get my knees replaced.
Ah.
Yeah, and just by circumstance, that got delayed.
Imagine
that. The Lord showed me 8 times in Kentucky what it felt like to have like 20-year-old knees walking across the parking lot to his house. But yet, here I am, knowing that he can heal with all complete confidence. I know he can heal me if he wants to.
He wants to.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like he wants to, but yeah. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Am I going to, you know, just being patient and waiting and knowing that I know what he can do? He showed me.
Yeah.
He showed me what it felt like.
Yeah.
Without any surgical help.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, battling that healing, physical healing.
Yeah.
Knowing that his will be done and praying in that, but yet just kind of balancing that out. Yeah.
So what I do, every once in a while, some body part will act up at the least time you expect it. And, you know, like maybe you get up out of a chair and all of a sudden you're like, hip, work in the name of Jesus. Be lubricated. I'd start speaking to your knees. I'd say, knees, you are healed. You are recreated in the image of God. Walk in the name of Jesus. Keep speaking. Knees, you're blessed. Here's one. Knees, I am so sorry for the way I treated you all this time. I'm asking you to forgive me. And I want to bless you. I had to apologize to my body for some stuff. You know, I'm like, it just happened like 3 months ago. I'm away with God, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, we see when we see. You know, I've been pretty rough on my body, and I apologized, and I blessed it. Now, this may sound weird, but we have authority over our bodies. These are just earth suits. But if God showed you, that's a promise. And if your surgery's been delayed, in fact, we're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to pray for you before the end tonight, okay?
Well, yeah, there's
so
there's
just things. Keep speaking. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Be removed if it's a box or an obstacle. And bless, bless, bless. I bless my body every day I speak to my body. And I knees, you're blessed. Hip, you're blessed. Feet, you're blessed. Feet, come on now. Get moving. I often talk to my feet like that. Come on, feet. It's okay. Let's start walking. And all of a sudden, they start agreeing. And, they're, you know, it's good.
It's amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, God's miraculous healing happens in our bodies every single night.
Yeah.
Every
You're
single
right.
night.
You're mean, right.
That's a beautiful thing. I mean, we're talking big miraculous.
Yeah.
But we're also talking just what he's done with our bodies. Yeah. Just how, yeah, you can beat up on yourself all day and it's like, oh, I don't know. And as you wake up in the morning, say, hey, I'm as good as new again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will say one thing. Like, I had a body part fail on me, my gallbladder. And we were at a conference in at the Ridge, and it just like, blah. And I was like, ah. And I contended, I spoke, I, you know, broke word curses. I asked for people to help pray. And I ended up at the hospital, and, you know, I got dehydrated because when you do that, it's not good. And I remember thinking, this, I'm not settling. This is a part of my body, and I'm not giving it up. And so I finally got to a place of peace where I actually saw the cross in the spirit and went behind the cross. There's always healing behind the cross. And I saw my gallbladder get healed, and they unhooked me from my V's, and I left, and I went back to the conference. So I thought, wahoo. You know, so that's a supernatural healing. I don't know if it was 6 months later or a year. I don't keep track of time. It acted up again. And so I'm, like, commanding and blessing it, and meanwhile I'm getting really sick. And I ended up having had that taken out that time. Why? What happened? I don't know, and I don't care. I don't sweat the small stuff. If a body part, I think of Joyce Myers when she had a breast cancer. She's like, I'm doing the work of the Lord. If I got to get a little cut out, I'm getting it cut out, and I'm going to keep working. You know, I don't know why sometimes we get healed and sometimes we don't, but I know it's never God. Are you leaving? Are you leaving? Okay. Okay. So, good?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And again, we know that we can trust him.
We can trust him. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to close because we're going to do some business. So, Father, I just thank you for everything you released tonight. Lord, you are doing something amongst us, and I just bless your name. I honor you, and I thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.